Well, good morning. It's good to see you here this morning, and glad that you're in the house of God to worship Him. We're going to be in the book of Romans this morning. Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 15. Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 15. We're going to be talking about Paul and his feelings toward the Romans church and the way he said he was going to pray for them, and he said that he was thankful for them, and that he was planning to come and visit, and all of that. We're going to talk about that this morning and this evening. We're going to be in this passage again tonight. But we're just going to let God speak to us and see the concern that Paul had for the Roman people and the Roman church, and then how we can take that and apply our lives. We must have that same concern for one another. So, Romans 1, chapter 1, verses 8 through 15. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we read the passage. Father, we just pray now that as we go into this time where we have this message, we pray that you would speak to our hearts. We pray that first you would bless the reading of the word, that God, that we would hear something and learn something from reading this that we didn't know before, something that can change our lives. And God, I just pray that you would speak to every person that is here, that you would reveal to us the truth of your word, that we will take what is taught today and what is spoken today and apply it to our lives and be obedient to any changes you would have us to make in our lives. God, I just pray that you would give me the words to speak, that whatever is said will come from you and flow from your throne, and that it will speak to all the people that are here today. And we just love you, God, and we praise you, and we pray again that you guide us through the rest of this service and through this time of worship. And it's all these things we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 15. And if you will stand, please, in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Thank you. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my Spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both you and me. Now I would have you not be ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you, but was left hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. May God bless the reading of the word. Thank you, and you may be seated. Paul's concern for Rome. That's going to be the title of the sermon this morning, Paul's Concern for Rome. The Roman church was apparently a very prestigious church, a very well-known church. And we have to understand one thing about it. With all the ministries that Paul did and all the missions that Paul did and everywhere he went, everywhere he taught, and all the churches he started, the Roman church was not one of Paul's church starts. The fact of the matter is, Paul did not know many of the people that were at the Roman church. He knew a couple of them, he knew a few of them. But he did not know all the people at the Roman church. Yet, also, the Romans, in turn, did not know Paul personally. Now, they probably knew of who Paul was. They probably, no doubt, had heard of his ministry and heard of what he had done in his service. They probably had heard of his missionary work and what he had done in Ephesians and what he had done in Colossians, Philippians, places, or Philippi and those areas, Ephesus, I guess I should say, not what he did with those people. The Roman church probably no doubt heard of the mission of Paul, probably no doubt heard of the kind of man that he was, the change that had taken place in his life, but they didn't know him personally. Many of them did not know him personally as he did not then know them. But that didn't matter. It didn't matter that they had never met each other in person. It didn't matter that they didn't know each other personally. It didn't matter that they may have never even seen each other. The fact of the matter is that we know Paul knew of the Roman church. And there's no doubt that the Roman church knew of Paul. In fact, it tells us in verse 8, Paul tells us that I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you for your faith, which is spoken of throughout the whole world. He had heard of the faith of the Roman church. Now, we don't know much about the Roman church other than what little we do read about in this book. And most of the book of Romans is about Paul's doctrine. In a lot of ways, he's sending this letter ahead of himself to tell the Roman church that this is who I am, this is what I believe, this is what I preach. And that's why so much doctrine is found in the book of Romans. In fact, if you go through the book of Romans, probably more so than any other book, do you find the doctrines that we base our Christianity on and our theology on. It's amazing to me how many times when I was in college, in Bible college and seminary, that when you talked about certain theological principles, many times they came back to the book of Romans. In fact, the doctrine of salvation that we have is strongly found in the book of Romans. They even have today, there are people that use what we call the Roman road when they share their faith with other people. They use the Roman road, which is they take about 7 or 8 verses from the book of Romans to share their faith. Verses like Romans 6:23 that it says, For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ is our Lord. And Romans 3:23 that says, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then Romans 10:9-10 and other verses that are mentioned that are used in sharing faith. And that's the doctrine of salvation. Our doctrines, a lot of our doctrines and our beliefs come from the book of Romans, because it was this book where Paul expressed what he believed to the Roman church. And he had already heard what they believed. He knew of their faith. Their faith was spoken of, it says in verse 8, throughout the whole world. And that's interesting, isn't it? Now, we have to understand that the whole world back then, in the time of Paul, probably meant the Roman Empire. It didn't literally mean every country in the world like we would think of today. It probably referred mostly to the world of the Roman Empire, which would have been most of the known world at that time. But it's interesting because even if it wasn't the full globe of the earth, even if it was just the Roman Empire, that was still a massive amount of land. I mean, the Roman Empire controlled many different countries and nations. And when you think about it, they didn't have the technologies that we have today. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have email. They didn't have internet. They didn't even have the telegrams. They didn't even have telegrams. They have any of that stuff. They didn't even have the Pony Express. So you think about all of that and the technologies we have today. You know, you go on your computer, if you have a computer, most of you probably do and know what email is. You go on there and you type your little message and you click a button and you hope you put in the email address right. Otherwise, somebody else is going to get it. But you put it in right and you click it, and a couple seconds later, you know, you can tell somebody anything now. Granted, they have to check their email, don't they? I know when I was still in college, I didn't check mine. People send me email, and I wouldn't get it for 20 days. But most of us check it regularly, you know, once or twice a day. And if you do, you can get an email, or you have text messages on your cell phone, or you can be just about anywhere and use a cell phone. It's just amazing. Word can get around fast now in our time. Well, back then, they didn't have those kinds of technologies. They pretty much just had to travel everywhere and tell her. I'm sure they had couriers and messengers, and I don't know if they really used pigeons or not, but I'm sure they had some kind of form of communication, but it wasn't phones and it wasn't telegrams, stuff like that. They had to go and deliver their message in person. And they didn't have automobiles and airplanes to get them there fast. And yet it says the whole world knew about the Roman church. You know, it's one thing for the whole world to know about a church in our time. you probably have to say in our nation the most popular church is the one at Saddle Creek or Saddleback or whatever it is. Saddleback, I think it is, where Rick Warren is, his church out in California. It's probably the most popular church in our nation and maybe in the world. It's one of the biggest, one of the most well-known churches because he's written some books, and it does have a large membership. And, you know, and everybody knows about it because of the media that we have, the attention that is given to it. But in this time, everybody knew about the Roman church. You know, I guess I'm beating a dead horse kind of idea, but I want you to understand that this was a time that they did not have the means of communicating like we do. And yet everybody knew the faith of the Romans. That is powerful. They had such a strong faith. They were such a godly people, and they were so evangelistic in what they did and the way they conducted their lives as a congregation that their faith was spoken of through the whole world. They were popular. They were well known. People knew who they were, and the very fact that Paul knew who they were was a testament and a compliment to who they were as people. The whole world knew about the Roman church. You know, I stopped there for a second, and sadly, this is not the end of the sermon, but I'm just stopping, but making a point. But I look at that, and I think about that, and I wonder, put it on an individual scale, and even put it on our church scale. Do people know who you are? Do they know you're a Christian? Now, I know that the whole world doesn't know who you are. The whole world doesn't know who I am. All of Adel doesn't know who I am. My whole neighborhood doesn't know who I am. But my point is, do you shine the light of Christ in your life? Do you minister? Do you witness? Do you evangelize? Do you live a godly life so that the people around you know the kind of Christian that you are? Are you spoken of by the people that know you as a Christian? If people had to define you with one word, is that the word they would use? Or would they use another word? What kind of person, what kind of Christian are you? The Roman church was known because of the things they did and the Christianity they had and the faith they had. What about us? What about our church? Do people know about Gordon Avenue? Do we touch the lives of the people around us? Do we touch the lives of people around us individually? Do people know about us the way that people knew about the Roman church? We've got the means of advertising, communicating, letting people know that what we believe. But do we do it? Do we use it? Is our faith known throughout the world the way it was through the Roman church? But we move on, and Paul goes on to say in verse 8, he says, I am thankful for you. I thank God for you in Christ Jesus, because I have heard about your faith. Their faith made his witnessing easier. The faith of the Roman church made it easier for Paul to do his ministry. Because when he would go out and minister to people, he could say to them, you know, I believe in Christ, and this is what Christ did to me, and I want to share that with you. And no doubt there were probably people that said, well, who is Christ, and who are you, and why do I care what you think? And he probably said to them, well, you've heard about the Roman church, right? You've heard about how the faith they have. They say, oh yeah, I know about them. Well, they're Christians. They believe in Jesus. That's what Jesus is. He could point to the Roman church and said, that's who Jesus is. And then these people that he ministered to that were out throughout the whole world that knew the Roman church said, oh yeah, I've heard those pretty good people. That's who Jesus is. Yeah, I'll listen to you. You see my point? The faith that they had an impact on Paul's ministry. It alleviated his ministry. It alleviated anyone that would doubt Paul. It helped him. It went before him. And it made it easier for him to minister because of their reputation, because of their contact, because of what they were and who they stood for and the faith that they had. Paul's ministry was probably made easier by the people that they were. I can remember when I was in college, there was a man, I can't remember the guy's name, I tried to remember, I want to say Teddy something, but I don't know if that's right, but he worked with the North American Mission Board, at the time I think it was still called Home Mission Board, but anyway, he came and he spoke at the school, and I came and listened to him speak, and he did a little class on church starting. He had been a church starter, a church planner, And he had gone to New York, the state of New York, and not New York City, I don't think, but the state of New York, and he had started a church up there. And he said that, you know, we don't understand here in the South that I don't think any of you, I don't know if any of you understand that people up north in the New York area, know they don't like Southern Baptists. Did you know that? They think that we're snake handlers and we're crazy people and stuff like that. That's the perception that the northern people have of Southern Baptists. They don't like us up there for whatever reason. And he said it was difficult. And it was difficult to go around and tell people about Christ and try to invite people to church, because when I said Baptists and Southern Baptists in particular, they didn't want to have anything to do with me. As he said, finally what I started doing was, I would go to them and I'd say, I'm a Baptist, but do you know who Billy Graham is? And he'd say, oh yeah, I know who Billy Graham is. And he'd say, well, he's a Baptist. And then once he told them that Billy Graham was a Southern Baptist, then they'd listen to him. They'd listen to what he had to say, because people knew who Billy Graham was. You see, the kind of ministry that Billy Graham had, the kind of faith that he had, and the way that he ministered to people, it so touched people's lives that this man was able to use that in his church planning. All it took was mentioning who Billy Graham was, and they would listen to him. They'd at least give him an ear. They wouldn't slam the door in his face or whatever. Or stick their dog on. I've heard that happen before. That actually happened in Miami, and they are Southern Baptists down there. But some guy went down there anyway. Somebody stuck the dog on him or whatever. Suck a dog on him. Whatever you call it. Sick the dog. But anyway, I don't know what the plural of sick is. But anyway, sick did a dog. But back to, there we go, chasing the rabbits again. But I blew it there. But you get the point. Billy Graham's ministry had made such an impact that this man could reach the people in New York. And the Romans had had such an impact with their ministry that Paul was able to minister to the people throughout the world. You know, we need to be thankful for godly people in godly churches in this world. We need to be thankful for the people that God puts in our lives, for the people that minister, for the people that go before us, the people that break ground. You know, we have missionaries in the Southern Baptist Convention through the International Mission Board. They go overseas, and they go to Africa, and they go to all these other places, and they minister. They spend their lives ministering to people. You know, it's people like William Carey, the father of modern missions, they call him. He was back in the 1700s, I believe. He was the first true foreign missionary. 7 years he spent in India. 7 years ministering and witnessing and evangelizing. 7 years before one person came to Christ. That's how long it took him to get one person to believe what he was saying. 7 years it took him. People like that went before us, that set the ground, that did the work, that made it easier for us. You know, even here at Gordon Avenue, this church's been here 50-something years, and it's had a reputation, and we've ministered to the people, and we've gone, and we've reached out, and the people that our friends, our relatives, and our ancestors that have ministered before us have made ministry easier for us. And we need to be thankful for the people that go before us. We need to be thankful for other churches and other Christians that are there now. You know, it's easy to be in a city like Adel that's, you know, it's what, 8 square miles or whatever it is, and 6,000 people, and we've got 10,000 churches in Adel. I don't know how big Adel is. If I was wrong on that, I'm sorry, but my point is, we got a small town, and we got more churches than we've got, I don't know, definitely grocery stores. I got more bedrooms, we got grocery stores, but churches everywhere, everywhere you go. I'm starting a new church in Adel, you know, and it's easy to get frustrated with that and think, man, we got too many churches in Adel. But we need to be thankful for the churches that are here, that are ministering to other parts of the city, and they are helping us, you know. Think about it this way. We don't have to reach the entire city by ourselves. We've got brothers and sisters in Christ at other churches that are hopefully, you know, reaching out to the people around them. And we minister here to the projects and the people in this neighborhood, and they're ministering other places. We need to be thankful for that. We need to be thankful for the ministry and the faith of our fellow believers. We need to be thankful for the fellow believers that are here at our church here that support us and encourage us. And we need to support and encourage each other, don't we? We need to tell each other, listen, I appreciate who you are, and I'm thankful that God has put you here to minister at this church. We need to be thankful for the godly people that God has put in our lives. That's what Paul was. He was thankful for the Roman church. And we need to be thankful for the godly people around us as well. But then very quickly, moving on to the last part of this passage. Well, the next couple of verses, 9 and 10, this will be the end of the last part of the message. But I want to talk about Paul when he says, God is my witness, whom I serve in my spirit, that I make mention of you always in my prayers. Paul prayed for the Roman church. He was thankful for the Roman church. He was thankful for what the Roman church did for him and the ministry that they had, the faith that they had. But he prayed for the Roman church. He prayed for them. And it's no doubt that God honored him. In fact, it says, God is my witness. God was witness and bore witness to the fact that Paul was praying for the Roman church. God knew that Paul was praying for them. God knew that Paul supported them. And God honored Paul's prayers. Many lives were touched by the Roman church. Many Romans were blessed by God. In fact, you could almost say that one of the reasons why the Roman church had the faith that they did, and one of the reasons why the Roman church was able to reach out to people they did, the way they were so well known, was because of the prayer of people like Paul. That he prayed for them. They were successful. They were able to continue. They were able to reach out. They were able to make a difference because of people like Paul that prayed for them on a daily basis. And it says, without ceasing, I made mention of you. He prayed for them all the time. Now think about that. Paul did not know most of the people of the Roman church. It's believed that Priscilla and Aquila were members of the Roman church. You read about them in the book of Acts, and Paul knew them. But that was about it. He didn't know most of the people at the Roman church. And many of them didn't know him personally. And yet Paul prayed for them anyway. How many of us pray for people that we don't know? How many of us pray for the people at other churches in this town? Or other Christians or missionaries that are overseas? You don't even know who they are maybe, but maybe you've heard their name, you heard their situation, you don't know them, but you pray for them. God, I heard about this missionary and I want to lift them up to you. Be with them as they minister. How many of us pray for people that we don't know? Paul prayed for the Roman church. He prayed for them, and because of his prayer, one of the reasons they were faithful the way they were, the reasons they had the success they had, was because of people like Paul that prayed for them. But you know, even more than that, the Romans did not know Paul, true. Maybe they didn't know him personally, but they did not know that Paul was praying for them. They had no idea Paul was praying for them. They didn't know that, but he was. And they were reaping the benefits of that. You know, I wonder about us. Are we aware of people praying for us? Do we know that there are people that pray for us and we don't even realize it? Do we know that there's people lifting us up in prayer? You know, there may be somebody out there right now that you don't even know. Maybe it's a friend of your aunt's, or maybe it's a friend of one of your friends, or maybe it's somebody else that they know you, they've seen you, they've been acquainted with you, and for whatever reason, God has laid on their heart to pray for you. And the reason why you're healthy, and the reason why you're blessed, and the reason why you have the things you have is because there's somebody out there praying for you. And it may be somebody you do know. It could be a family member that you don't even realize prays for you every night. I know my parents tell me they pray for me, and I know that they do, and I can feel that their prayers touch me, and I can feel that God blesses me because there is someone out there praying for me. You know, another story I heard one time was, there was a pastor, he was pastoring his church, and all of a sudden, it just started growing. He would reach out to people, and people started coming to church, and people started coming down the aisles getting saved, and people were, you know, just left and right, as they say, just the church was growing, people were getting saved, and great things were happening. And you know how us preachers are, we got an ego, and he started to think he was something special. You know, I'm a good preacher, look, it's all my preaching, look how good I'm preaching, and Look what kind of ministry I'm doing. All these people getting saved and all this stuff. And he went and visited a lady one day. He went and visited one of the ladies in his church one day. And, you know, I'm sure he walked up there with his tie, and he probably stood tall, as arrogant, you know how we are. And he probably went into her house and thought he was all kind of special and everything. And knocked on the door or whatever. And she wasn't there. So if I remember, sorry, I ran around and went into the shed or something. And there she was. She was in the shed. And the phone book was open. And she was going down name by name in the phone book, praying for every person in the phone book. She's not in the residential section. She didn't know any of these people. She just started in the letter A and went down and prayed for every person all the way through the phone book. And then that pastor realized it had nothing to do with me. It had nothing to do with my preaching. It's because of people like that. You see, there's somebody out there maybe right now in this city that does that. Maybe they go, we got a small phone book. Maybe they go through it a couple times a year, right? 100 times a year or whatever. But they may be praying for you and you don't even know it. Maybe there's somebody like Ronnie, she goes to school. Maybe there's somebody at school, one of the people that has names of the list of students, and probably get fired if they found out, but maybe prays for the list of students. Or maybe there's somebody that goes and knows some of the people at school and has an inside track, get a name of some of the students and teachers in our local public schools and prays for them on a daily basis. I mean, it's probably some grandma somewhere nobody knows about, but she's praying every day for you. And you don't even know it. You know, and there's people out there that pray for us. And that's what Paul did. The Romans didn't know that he was praying for him, but they were feeling the benefits of it because God was witness that I pray for you. And they were blessed. And what was the blessing? That the whole world knew who they were because of the faith they had. Because of people like Paul that prayed for them on a daily basis. You know, I wonder about that. We need to learn to pray for other people too, don't we? You know, Paul was persecuted very heavily, and there's no doubt the Christian church, the Roman church, was the Christians there were probably persecuted very heavily too. They needed each other. Paul needed the Romans, the Romans needed Paul. They needed to pray for each other, they needed that mutual benefit. They needed that encouragement, and he wanted to go visit with them. He said, I want to go visit you. I want to meet the people that are doing such great things. And they wanted to meet him. And he said, I want to come and share with you. And we'll talk about that tonight. But they needed each other. They needed to pray for each other. They needed that relationship. And we need to learn in our lives that there are people praying for us, but we need to pray for other people. Maybe we need to go through our prayer list. Maybe we need to go through the phone book. Maybe we need to get some kind of list. Maybe you got some grandkids or kids or something that they can write down the names of all the kids in their class or something, or their teachers, and you pray for them and just see what God does in their lives. It's amazing what prayer can do, and that's what Paul did. He prayed for the Roman church. Are you praying for people? People, somebody's praying for you. Somebody's out there lifting you up to God every day. Praying for your well-being, praying for your guidance in your life. And you don't know who they are, but I guarantee you there's someone out there you don't even realize is praying for you. You need to pray for them. You need to pray for others. We need to lift up each other and pray. We need to pray. We need to encourage each other. We need to be thankful for each other. Instead of complaining about what each other does, maybe be thankful. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you come. I'm glad you sit into the Sunday school class with me. I'm glad that you love me. I'm glad that you're a part of our church. I'm thankful for you, and I pray for you. Are you going to be thankful for the people around you today? Are you going to pray for those around you? I have an invitation this morning. I don't know what the invitation is. What is it, Steve? Well, it'll be something on the CD. But whatever the invitation is, Steve will tell, he'll let you know what that is. But I just pray whatever God is going to do in your life, that you would be obedient to Him. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, God, it is a great thing to know there's somebody out there praying for us. It's a great thing to know that we can pray for everyone and anyone. Maybe God put somebody on our hearts this week. Maybe just one person. Somebody, a name we see in the phone book, or somebody we see at a grocery store. Maybe we go to the grocery store and there's some lady with 20 kids that's look stressed out, and we don't even know who she is, and we don't know her name, but we can say, I pray for the lady with 20 kids or whatever, God, and we just lift them up and pray for them all week. God, help us be prayer for someone this week. Maybe there's somebody at this church you've laid on our hearts that we need to pray for. May we do that. And God, maybe there's someone that we need to say to them, I'm thankful for you. I'm glad you come to church. I'm glad you're a Christian. I thank you for the witness and the faith that you have. And we need to be thankful for them and let them know that we're thankful and be thankful to you for putting them in our lives and putting them on this earth. God, whatever you want to do in our lives, whatever you want to teach us, I just pray that you reveal to us tonight or this morning. We love you, God, and we praise you. And we praise you. Bless us in this time of invitation. And thank you for all you've taught us today. And it's all these things we ask and pray in Jesus' name.